Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we have the opportunity of learning together Mizmor Tzadi Beis, the 92nd Psalm in Book of Tehillim. This is a very famous Mizmor. It is the Mizmor of the day of Shabbos, Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. As we have been seeing, the fourth book of the Tehillim is in fact very familiar. Most of the Mizmorim we are seeing do appear at some place in our davening. Let's take a quick look at the overview and structure of this Mizmor. It is comprised of 16 psukim, and it works as follows. The first pasuk, of course, is its koteves, that is its inscription, in which it says, Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. This is a psalm, this is a song to the day of Sabbath. Then there's an introduction from psukim Beis to Vav, and in the introduction describes, the Mishorer describes the grandeur, the power of Hashem, which he wants to sing to praise. And finally, the main section of this Mizmor is from Zion to Tes Zion, 7 to 16, in which the Mishorer, the narrator, describes the success of evildoers and the success of the righteous. In terms of the content and the themes, this narrator is talking about the overarching idea of Hashem's interaction with this world. He looks at the actions of Hashem in this world, and he's really completely overwhelmed by the power and grandeur of Hashem, which forces him, and he feels compelled to thank Hashem all day and night for the good he sees. He really just says, Tov lo dos l'Hashem l'zame l'shimcho alyon. It is good to thank you. It is good to praise you, God on high, on all these different instruments. Why? Ki simcha Hashem b'fa alecha v'maaseh yadecha aranein. You made me happy through your actions. I look out there. It is so magnificent, the cohesion, the ecosystems, the entire world at large on the macro and the micro. However, there's one thing which doesn't seem to sit well or fit into this system and behave in concert with everything else, and that is the success of the evildoers. It looks like there are people who are bad. Hashem said that bad people would be punished, and these bad people are not being punished. In fact, sometimes it looks very much like those bad people are doing even better because of their bad. They're cheating, they're conniving, they're lashon hara, all the backstabbing, that it ultimately looks like the reason why they are succeeding, which goes against the grain of all the justness, all the rules that Hashem laid out. And there are people, therefore, who refuse, because of this question, to praise Hashem. And they say, how can we praise Hashem if those who run against the grain of Hashem ultimately are allowed to flagrantly express themselves this way? He calls these people Ba'ar Uksil. These are boors, these are fools. They don't understand the actions of Hashem. And he says so eloquently that ultimately it is true, you may see people who are bad, who are succeeding. But in the end of the day, it is Li Shomdom Ade Ad. That's the main point of this Mizmor. It is that they are it is ultimately to give them total and complete annihilation. As opposed to the Tzadikim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Almighty will ultimately bless. It's worthwhile noting that the Ramban in Shara Gmul, Nachmanides, in his section, his essay, very long essay, which he writes about reward and punishment, takes this into account and explains just the basic mechanics of this. That means to say that when a person gets to Olam Haba, that's not after death. After death is Olam HaNeshamos, that's almost a waiting room, which is still in the confines of this world. But in the very, very future, when everybody's going to confront the discussion or the situation of Olam Haba, people are going to be either in or out. You can't be partially in Olam Haba or partially out. You're going to be either in or out. Which means to say, on the annual checkups, and the annual, we'll call Rosh Hashanah, when a person is being reviewed, their portfolio is under audit. At such a time, the first question is this person Rav Zakai or Rav Chayev? Is this person going in or out in the end of the day? Let's say the person is a tzaddik, but they had a number of issues that they did. Doing a lot of charity does not get rid of cheating. Doing good things does not get rid of bad things. There's no aggregate over here. We're not two columns that you average the numbers in. That's not the way it works. There's things that if people do, they need to be taken care of. Whether the suffering goes through teshuva or if it's not through teshuva, there has to unfortunately be suffering in a different way. There's in order to deal with that particular issue. That means to say that therefore, because the person ultimately is going in the right direction, there's still a few things which need to be sorted out. So in the confines of Olam Hazeh, potentially, that's one option that a person can suffer in order to be able, that cleanses them from those demerits, those marks, so they'll ultimately be completely pure. And the same goes the opposite way. Let's say you're a person who, Rachmana Litzlan, is not heading in the right way. They're heading not to enter Olam Haba, but they did good actions. Those good actions are not ignored either. Those good actions are ultimately going to be rewarded. So therefore, you may see people who are succeeding, but ultimately what's happening is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is draining their bank account to zero, so everything is used up now. Lisham Dom, to destroy them eternally. That's how the Ramban in the Shara Gumul explains it. And he talks about three different Meyadin, the Yom HaDin HaGadol HaNara, when a person at the end of time is going to be judged whether they enter into Olam Haba or not. That's the most important of all of them. And that informs two other way stations, which is Rosh Hashanah in an average year, and the Day of Death, which is when a person is judged before the Olam HaNeshamas. Very important to understand the interaction between those three Yemei HaDin, as the Ramban explains it. It's worth noting in our Mizmor that there's a notion of telescoping, which means to say that the Mishorer, the narrator, is looking at these Rishayim, he's seeing their success, but because he is so theologically turned on, he's so well aware of the underpinnings of what's happening in the world and what's going to happen to them in the future, it's almost like he's seeing them being destroyed now. It's so real to him that even though, yes, that person seems to be succeeding immeasurably, they are actually almost witnessing their demise right now because of their belief system, knowing that it'll happen ultimately. It's a very powerful tool of description. It's also worthwhile noticing that the voice of the Mishorer, of the narrator, is very much personal. He's not talking academically here and he's saying, you know what, theoretically speaking, in the textbook on page 37, paragraph 3a, it says this is what happens. No, he's talking about what has happened to me, what I see happening. He talks about the idea of, he speaks to Hashem directly, Hashem, you are lofty. He calls Hashem Tzuri, my rock of my salvation. In other words, this is very much personal. This is very much experiential. In terms of the events behind the Mizmor, it is interesting to note that there is a fascinating track in Chazal and in Kabbalistic literature that this was, in fact, the song sung by Adam HaRishon, the first human being. He sang the song. In fact, there are different counts, but there is a notion that there are 10 songs to be found in Tanakh. 10 songs to be found in Tanakh, and this is song number 1. The Shir of Yom HaShavos was the first song sung by the first human being, which was Adam HaRishon. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh goes on to explain in his Pirushon Tehillim that in fact, this was not so much even a song about Shabbos, but about the notion of Teshuvah in a certain sense, the notion of return to Hashem. After Adam had sinned, that's when he sang this, to be able to bring back Hashem and his mercy into this world so that he could survive. And part of that connects to the notion of Shabbos. It is worthwhile also noting a very fascinating essay that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has in his Sefer on Chumash called Emes LiYaakov, the beginning of Parshas Vo'era, actually, and also the end of Shmos, where he talks about the idea that Paro made the work harder for the nation of Israel, and they weren't able to listen to Moshe mekotzer ruach umeavadah kasha, from a lack of, the hard work and the lack of breath. And he asks, what's the difference? Why did they believe Moshe Rabbeinu when he first came, and now not? So he quotes a Midrash which says that beforehand they used to have a day off, and on that day off, it wasn't Saturday per se, it wasn't Shabbos, but they had a day off in the weekend. On that day they used to read Megillos, they used to read these scrolls which would give them hope. But then Paro took away the day off, they didn't have time and respite to read these Megillos, to read these parchments, and therefore they were not able to have the hope necessary. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asks a basic question, like what exactly was on their bookshelf? Like we're in Egypt at this point in time, there ain't even Torah, right? That wasn't given. That's at Sinai. That's later on. So what exactly were they reading? What literature do they have extant? So he gave two suggestions. One is a very fascinating idea about Eov, because perhaps one of the opinions is that Moshe Rabbeinu himself wrote it about suffering in this world and perspective on suffering. And the other suggestion he has is this Mizmor, the Mizmor of Adam HaRishon, that as long as a person has a why, as long as a person has perspective, as long as a person is able to understand that there's a longitudinal plan over here, they can get through that suffering. However, when that was taken away, they weren't even able to have the respite necessary to be able to get through that. That's when they crumbled. That's when they couldn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how important, that's perhaps some of the history of this Mizmor. This Mizmor is extremely famous. It appears numerous times in our davening. On a Friday night, it is part of the Kabbalah Shabbos. In fact, the Orach HaShulchan, when commenting on this, quotes the Shlach HaKadosh, and he says that this is the Ikar Mi'am Kabbalah Shabbos, meaning to say, even though, yes, Rav Alkabetz and the Kabbalists of Tzfat used to go out into the fields and say six Mizmorim Elachadodi, but the Ikar, the main part of Kabbalah Shabbos, is really Mizmor Shiliyam HaShabbos, which just follows it. And in fact, And Shulchan Kodesh suggests that a person should really try to get to this before Shkia, before sunset. That's not always possible in the way that shuls, minchas are arranged and work schedules. But if a person has the flexibility to be able to say Mizmor Shir Liyama Shabbos earlier, to add Tosefes Shabbos, bringing in Shabbos by saying this earlier than the actual sunset, there is something very special about that according to the Shulchan Kodesh. It also appears in the Pesukim of Zimran Shabbos and Yom Tov, and it also appears as the Shir Shil Yom Shabbos. It's actually the song of the day of the Sabbath. Why is it? Why is it so connected to Shabbos? So the Da'at Mikra, Rav Amos Chacham says, well, practically speaking, the Metzudas David also says this, is that when it was the Shabbos or Yom Tov, that was the greatest public gathering of people together. So you want to reach the greatest crowds to talk about the most important issues about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules and governs this world? Well, then you need to have a lot of people there. The Malbim says on a deeper level that ultimately this Mizmor is about the Hashkacha of Hashem in the world. The way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts with providence in this world, that the world is not simply a natural course of action. It is not simply rules which are obeying themselves and continuing ad infinitum. We are talking about ultimately a system where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Hashkacha and that affects the way He governs the world and the way He governs people. To summarize this, that to understand that even Mother Nature has a Father in Heaven. That's what the Malbim says, and that's perhaps only something we can get when we are on Shabbos. Shabbos which testifies to Ma'aseh Bereishis. Shabbos which testifies to the fact that this creation had a Creator. That this creation, in fact, is continually being created by that Creator. The Oisei Oirim Gedolim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to make the lights, the luminaries. And finally, the third level of why it may be said on Shabbos and why it's so connected to Shabbos is Chazal itself, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Zayin, what Aleph tells us, quoting Rav Katina, that in fact, the world is destined to be 6,000 years long. There's 1,000 years for every day of creation, and ultimately on the 7,000th day, there'll be a renewal. There'll be this almost cessation, and that reflects the pattern of creation of 6 days and 7 days, because Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos Liyom Shekuloi Shabbos, for a day which will ultimately all be Shabbos, which means to say the reason we're saying it on Shabbos is because it is reflective of a reality called Olam Haba, which is not this worldly. It's in a dimension above or beyond this world, and therefore on a day which has a me'ain, has a little bit of that element, that's the time when we say the Mizmor Shir Shliyom HaShavos. Just a couple of psukim in the spotlight to notice the number, and that is first of all, the third pasuk is a very beautiful phrase, La'agid baboiker chastecho, is to tell in the morning your kindness and at night your faithfulness. It's important to notice the difference between these ideas, the idea of kindness and faithfulness. Those are very different notions. Day and night does not mean day when you see the sun and night when you see the moon. That means to say different times in our lives. There are day times where it's clear what's going on, and there are night times where it's not clear what's going on. In the daytime, we see the chesed of Hashem, we say, Hashem, thank you. It's all working up, the job, the family, the health, everything. Thank you, Hashem, please. And you've got to say about the kindness of Hashem. But then there's times when it's night and it doesn't look right and doesn't feel right. It doesn't look like this is just. And then we have to remind ourselves about the Emunos Chabaleros. And that's why the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, tells us that in fact we say a different bracha on the end of Berakos Kriya Shema, reflecting these two realities. We say in the morning, Emes v'yatziv v'nachon v'kayom v'yashar, Hashem, it's foundational, it's clear, you're here, we understand you, we see you, we talk about you. At night, the bracha is replaced with Emes v'emuno. The truth is with emuno, with faithfulness, because sometimes we just don't see you, Hashem, but we still know that you're there. That's reflected on these two dimensions of reviewing Hashem in this world. It is also just a couple more points. We talk about how Tzadik Katamar Yifrach Ke'erez Balvonon Yisker, that we talk about the Tzadik being this date palm or the cedar tree. The Baal Shem Tov famously says that there's two different types of Tzadikim. There's a Tzadik who's able to sort out their own portfolio. They're able to be like a cedar, doesn't produce fruit, but it ultimately stands strong and is resolute despite the winds of change. And then there's a person who is like a date palm, that not only do they fix themselves up, they actually, it overflows. Their love of Hashem, their connection to Hashem overflows in the way they talk to other people, and therefore impacts the relationships with other people as well. And that's what he says, is that the place that a Baal Tshuva stands is more than the place that a Tzaddik stands. He's referring to these different Tzaddikim. The Baal Tshuva he refers to over here, says the Baal Shem Tov, is a person who in their personal process of growth is so overwhelmed by the experience that they have to overflow it and affect affect other people around them, because their growth is intermingled with the growth of those around them. Finally, it is interesting to notice that agriculturally speaking, there is a unique facet that relates to palm trees, and that is that although palm trees can certainly grow by themselves, if they grow in groups, they actually flourish better and produce better fruit. And perhaps what one's being said over here is that tzaddik katamar yifrach, is that the ultimate tzaddik is the one who will flourish like a tamar, not just because it produces fruits, but because it works better together. And that's ultimately what the blessing should be, is we should work better together. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.